I'm Esther Rakusin, reporter for WRFI Community Radio News. This past Saturday, January 21st, I traveled down to Washington, D.C. to take part in the Women's March on Washington and talk to some of the attendees who had traveled there to protest the new Trump administration. I was part of a group of about 410 women, men, and children riding on 8 buses that were organized by Women's March on D.C., Ithaca Group. Following the march, it has been reported that about 1,000 people from Ithaca traveled to Washington on Saturday, so our group represented just under half of the total. We left Ithaca at 4 a.m. and arrived just after 10 a.m. at the Greenbelt Metro Station, the last station on the Green Line, just outside the Beltway. The police, who had placed flares at the ramp to the station, had just blocked off the exit. Our bus driver stopped to ask a policeman what was up, and he told him that there were too many people trying to get into the metro station, so they were closing the exit. Our bus driver, Eric, kindly asked the officer if there was any other way for us to get to the station, and found out that he could drop us off about a half mile away, so off we went. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I had attended some of the 4th of July celebrations on the National Mall, so I was expecting the crowd at the metro station to have large numbers of people trying to get in. However, I did not expect what I saw when we approached the station. There was a line of people about a quarter mile long and several people wide streaming out of the station along the sidewalk. My first impression was everyone was wearing hats. Not just pink pussy hats, but green and orange striped ones, pink foam Statue of Liberty crowns, and our group was wearing purple hats that had a logo reading, "Rise Up Ithaca." Nearly everyone was holding a protest poster. Some people had Metro cards and were waiting to use them so they could get onto a subway car. Others were waiting to purchase their cards. The Metro police had separated the groups, and after about 30 minutes, we were able to get onto a train going downtown. But while we were waiting in line, I decided to talk with some of the people in our group. Here's some comments from a number of women from Ithaca and Lansing, New York, who had come on our trip.
My name's Sarah Evangia. I'm from Ithaca, New York. And I'm here with this wonderful mass of women to tell Trump that we are watching him and we are in mass and we're mobilized.
And I noticed that your poster says, "Save our science." And why did you make that poster?
I think that the depth of issues that we all have with this presidency is enormous. But I think a common theme is that science is under threat, whether you're talking about climate change or women's reproductive rights. Now more than ever, we need investments in science and technology. And this presidency is going to have to listen to people who are pro-science to ensure that we use science to advance, to address all of the great challenges that we face today.
My name is Susan Tabrizi. I'm from Lansing, New York, and I came today to make sure that we stand up for our civil rights and our civil liberties, to protect each other from backwards looking policies, and to make sure that we continue to work in a forward manner to bring about our ultimate goal of equality for all, step by step.
And have you ever been to a protest before?
I have not. This is my first one, and it looks like it's pretty big.
What made you decide to come?
I thought that it was time for me to move beyond my own thoughts in my own head and add my voice and my presence to a demonstration that showed that people were interested in coming together.
Can I? Our group with the purple hats separated as we ended up in different sections of downtown DC. My friends Megan and Nancy and I decided to get off the train in Chinatown. As we walked closer to the National Mall, we saw increasingly large groups of people walking with their posters, cheering, and chanting along the way. We caught sight of John Kerry being whisked away as we walked down 7th Street, approaching Constitution Avenue. As we walked south towards Independence Avenue, where the rally was taking place, the crowds became denser. More pink hats, posters, masses of people moving very slowly. There appeared to be independent marches going down Constitution Avenue, as well as the open paths going east to west along the National Mall. Eventually, our friend Nancy peeled off to try to meet a friend, and Megan and I continued to walk westward towards an increasingly dense group of people walking in an amoeba-like mass towards 14th Street near the Washington Monument. We were getting rather stuck. No one was moving, so I started to speak with some people in the crowd. I talked to Bobby, one of the few people I saw in a wheelchair.
I'm Bobby Poole.
And where are you from?
I'm from Richmond, Indiana.
Wow. And so why did you decide to come all this way today?
The day after the election, my daughter said, I'll push a wheelchair if you want to come with me. And I said, yes. So I came to Philadelphia to stay with her, and then we drove here today.
Wow. And so yeah.
How do you feel about being in a big crowd surrounded by people?
It's a little scary. I've thought about, you know, what happens if everybody starts running? What do I do next? But I've got 5 people with me. They keep me surrounded, and they're pushing me along.
And what's your impression about what's happening today?
I think it's wonderful. I'm glad we're finding our voice. I think we need to be more organized and more clear about what we want for our country. And what we've got right now isn't it.
What is your name?
Bob.
And why'd you come down to the rally today?
To support my sister and support myself, really, both of us, in terms of this horrific election, and just wanting to acknowledge that something unbearable has occurred here in this country.
And
Donald Trump.
What is your impression about seeing all of these people here?
It's very validating and encouraging in terms of, I think, our true values in this country. And people are supporting each other and what this country really stands for in terms of its values.
Do you think you're going to take any kinds of actions in the coming year?
In the coming year? Just probably more of a verbal kind of protest and community organizing to make sure that further elections will go in the right direction, starting with the first election in the next 2 years, and then the next presidential election.
And is this the first protest that you've been to?
No. In fact, I was telling my sister that I was here in... It was during the Reagan administration, and we were protesting his lack of acknowledgement of AIDS at the time. And it was a major protest. It was, I guess it was in the 80s, yeah, maybe 85, 84. Yeah, so it was, my last protest was a long time ago.
So what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Lauren, and I came from Berkeley, California.
Wow, and that's quite a long distance. So what brought you here on this particular day?
I made this plan about 2 hours after the election and just knew we had to, well, actually, as soon as we heard about the event, and we just had to be here, be in solidarity with everybody for all of our civil rights and equal rights for all of us, and we got to stand strong.
And what rights are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about rights for the LGBTQ community, certainly all of the cultural diversity that we have in the Bay Area, so all the different cultural groups, and especially Mexico. This wall with Mexico is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Do you go down to Mexico very often?
I have been to Mexico several times, yeah. We have relatives who are there too, so.
And what do you think about your visits?
The visits? Oh, I'm loving it. Power to the people.
And I see you've got a pretty cool poster here, which is depicting Trump Tower. And keep your little hands on your little tower. And just wondering, like, how'd you come up with the idea?
Well,
some dumb question, right?
Initially, it was from my friend came up with keep your little hands off our civil rights. And then my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter, and my husband and I expanded it to the little tower. So, and I'm an architect, so Trump Tower.
After speaking with Lauren, the architect from Berkeley, California, my friend Megan and I, along with thousands of people, were pretty much standing still. People had filled the entire road surface of 14th Street in both directions, as far as the eye could see. People also filled the entire mall and going across the street towards the Washington Monument. Because the monument was nearby, many people were taking selfies with the prominent white obelisk in the background. People were literally body to body and not moving in any particular direction, but no one seemed to mind very much. On this comfortably cloudy day, surrounded by good-humored, like-minded people, the crowd didn't seem to mind hanging out. Eventually, Megan and I slowly wove through the masses of people towards the Museum of Natural History to talk to some more people at the march. Please tune in to tomorrow's broadcast of WRFI Community Radio News at 6 to hear more voices from the Women's March on Washington. For WRFI Community Radio News, I'm Esther Rakusin.